God never gives up on us. That's one of the key realities in our scriptures today. In that first reading, we hear that God, Ezekiel's commissioning represents God's concern and involvement in Israel's life despite her chronic sin and obstinacy. He called upon Ezekiel to go to the people and say, "Thus says the Lord your God." And he said, "Some will listen and some won't." Listening isn't an easy thing to do. We'd rather talk. We'd rather be in control of our conversations. We like it when we can say wonderful things and feel good about all the great wisdom we have. Sometimes we don't like to hear the wisdom of others because it might not be what we like to hear. And that's the same with the prophets. They always said things to the people that people didn't want to hear, and that's why they were so unpopular. But they kept doing it because God does not give up on us. In the gospel, we hear Jesus going into the temple and talking, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. They too fought back, so to speak. They wanted to have the last word, and they thought, what is this wisdom, this man doing? He's talking to us, but all he is a carpenter's son. He's nobody, so we don't have to listen to him. And so, as I say, God does not give up on us because Jesus continued. He didn't become discouraged and disheartened and move on. Rather, he stayed with it and with his mission, and ultimately people came to believe, obviously. But it was a hard task. It was a hard job for him. This wasn't an easy life for Jesus, obviously. In the end, he was rejected and put to death on the cross. So we have this message or this kind of theme in the Old Testament that God does not give up on us no matter how hard we try to give up on God. Sometimes by our actions, by our words, and so forth, we give up on God in a sense. We give up on the ideals he set before us. And so we sin, just like the Israelites. But we have to remember that God does not give up, that we can't do anything so bad that God won't forgive or that God won't continue to hold us in his arms. So we're safe, it says there. We're safe. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear our own weakness. We don't have to fear the strength of God because the strength of God is our hope. It takes the place of our fear. And hopefully then that place in our fear is replaced by the hope in the Lord. And we sang that in the responsorial psalm about God being our hope. So, as so often the case in our scriptures, we are called upon to remember who God is. And in remembering who God is, to know that we can trust God. The second reading from Paul Paul wrote a lot of stuff. He talks about his own weakness. He was given a thorn in the flesh. None of us knows what that really is. Scholars don't really know if it's a mental thing or a physical thing or whatever. But he was given this thorn in the flesh, and he kept asking God, "Take this away from me. Take this away from me." Don't we do the same? Something in us we want to get rid of, we want to let go, we want to have it go away. Something that makes us feel vulnerable or weak or out of control. And so Paul, too, like us, wanted to get rid of that, wanted God to take it away, but God said, "No, I'm not taking it away." Because if I take it away, you have no reason to trust me because you'll have all the control. So he says, "No, you trust in me, trust in your weakness, because when you are weak, it is then you are strong." For you and me also, same thing. When we are weak, we are strong, if we can really believe that. And we're strong in the grace of God, in the grace of God who never gives up on us.